I want to share a true story before I begin. From W.A. Griswold, he was a pastor at First Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas. And this was some time ago, and when the Doberman Pinschers were the dog to have. You remember that time? There were Doberman Pinschers is what it was. Anyway, he had two. And he was sitting there in his living room, and those two dogs were outside, and here came this old mutt. I mean, it was a mixture of just about anything and everything. Hopped the fence, was about half the size of these Doberman Pinschers, and these two Doberman Pinschers tore into this old mutt and just tore that old mutt every way but loose. Pretty soon, all three dogs got tired of fighting, and so the little old mutt, he went back, jumped the fence, went back home. Next day, sure enough, here came that little old mutt, jumped the fence, and the Dobermans were out there, and the fight was on again. This went on for a few days. And one day, Griswold was sitting there in his living room, and the two Doberman Pinschers came in whining. And he said, "What in the world's the matter with you?" And he opened the door for them to go out, and they wouldn't go out. They would not go out at all. And so Dr. Griswold looked out, and there's that mutt sitting out there at the bottom of the steps. And them dogs were hiding. Thank you.
Say this again. That's one thing about this don't work.
Testing.
Okay. Well, now, I hope Jamie Walker is watching, because for years, he would come up and dress me. He'd grab my microphone and I hope I'm pulling up the right thing here. And he said, "Oh, there you go." I have a word for you, Jamie Walker. Get yourself back here. There we go. All right, very good. Anyway, back to the dog. And that little dog's out there just panting and ready for it. Come on, get out here. And Griswold penned this phrase. He said, "I learned something that day. It's not how big a dog in the fight, but how big a fight in the dog." Amen. All right? I want you to turn to Genesis chapter 4, verse 7, if you would please. Genesis chapter 4, verse 7. And I will give you time to get there. I need a third hand is what I need. Also, I need to put my eyes on. Excuse me just for a minute. All right. Genesis chapter 4, verse 7. Just the one verse. Hallelujah. This is God talking to Cain. I mean, this is the word of God. And he says, "If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door. And if its desire is for you, but you should rule over it." Amen. Each and every one of us today is plagued with a certain sin or certain sins. I mean, there's no one up here, no one here that's totally free from, completely free from sin. You got to battle certain sins. Amen. And one time I had a demon say to the people that was casting demon out, and he looked around and said, oh, you want to drink, you want to drink, you want to drink. Came to me and says, you don't want to drink. And you got that right, pal. He knows, they know. Amen. But there are certain sins that plague us. Paul said, the things that I don't want to do, I find myself doing. And the things that I need to do, I don't find myself doing. And then he also wrote about a sin that so easily besets you. Right now, your sin, the sin that you're dealing with, is probably different than mine. That where the enemy works his work to try and strap you and pull you down. Okay? Amen. Book of Romans in chapter 3, verse 23 says, all of us have sinned. All of us have sinned, come short of the glory of God. Do you realize that each and every one of us deserve hell? Aren't you glad you came today? But we all deserve hell. Besides someone telling you to go there, but you deserve hell. But because of Christ, we don't go there. How can I have an amen on that? Hallelujah. But first of all, I want to deal, and my goal here today is that you rule over that. Okay? There are two kinds of sin. Did you know that? In John, 1 John chapter 5, verse 16 and 17. Again, 1 John chapter 5, 16 and 17. You see that? If anyone sees his brother sinning a sin which does not lead to death, he will ask and he will give him life for those who commit sin not leading to death. Now, leave that up there, please, just for a moment. There are sins that don't lead to death. And you need to educate yourself in that, that there are sins that we commit that that's not going to send you to hell. A few months ago, I was driving down MLK and just tooting right along going to work. And I seen this vehicle just swing in right behind me. I mean, very, very radical. And then the lights came on. I said, oh, man, I wasn't speeding. You know how many, you check everything. Hey, everything's cool. So I pull over, a young policeman comes up, and he says, I want to check your window. Window? And he checks my window, and he said, your window is too dark. And I said, oh? And in a minute, I'm going to show you there's a couple of culprits that we got to deal with. And in fact, one is the flesh, okay? But I had that culprit under control. I really did. Because, see, I was in the old school where when you got an equipment ticket, you fix it, send it in, you're fine. So I'm sitting there in my truck. He measures it. It's just a couple of notches below what is acceptable. And so he said, I'll be right back. I'm sitting there in awe and just in the spirit. Small s. And he comes back and he said, I'm writing you a ticket. You got to get that window taken care of. And I'm thinking all the time, well, I'll just fix it and send it back in, no problem. And he gives me a ticket. And I said to him, when he was all done, I said, sir, thank you, sir. Are you guaranteeing this work? No. Sounds like a walker. But anyway. So, anyway, I had to pray through on some things, you know, because the Holy Spirit came upon me when I'm going, that little toad, give me that ticket, and you're going on, you know, and the person, the Holy Spirit comes in and said, was you guilty? Yes. Was it wrong? Yes. And in the same words, what a good policeman will tell you, pay the fine. And so I paid my redemption, $150 of redemption. There's another type of sin also. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 and 21, you put that up there, please. And now these sins here will keep you from heaven, okay? Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication. You see it? Uncleanness, lewdness. You know, you see that in there. Now, but it keeps on going. Idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath. Selfish ambitions. That comes out kind of hard, don't it? Dissensions, heresies, envy. Will it ever stop? Envies, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. And then it goes on to say that if we partake of these, we will not partake of heaven. So you see, there's a sin unto death. Am I going to go to hell because my windows were darkened? Oh, come on, please. Am I going to go to hell because I ran a stop sign? No. I may go to the funeral home real quick if I run that stop sign, but I'm not going to go to hell because of there are certain sins that we will. God is not going to do that. But there are certain sins that I deal with or that are there that if I do these, it will take me to hell. Now look at Genesis 4:7. Go back to there, please. Something very intriguing is here. Notice the very last part. And it desires you. Sin desires you. Sin is like a cancer. It desires you. It desires to kill you. It desires to destroy you. It desires to control you. Amen. Sin desires you. Realize that. It's like a mold. It's like a cancer. It's alive, so to speak. And if left to its own, it'll kill you. This is that where we have those cravings. It desires over you. Or to have, write this word down if you're taking notes, dominance. This is very important. Amen. And many times people ask themselves concerning them sins, will I ever get control over that sin? Some of you are here today and you're saying that all week long. Will I ever get control of this? Will I ever have dominance over it? I want to give you some hope. The answer is yes. Amen. I want to show you how to do it. Go to Romans chapter 8, verse 1 and 2. These are my favorite verses of Scripture, in entire Scripture. And there's a reason why. I'll show you. Amen. Especially when it's in the King James Version or New King James Version. It keeps something in there that we need to know. Okay? There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That's the part. Okay? Then that's verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of, look at that. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and the law of death. There's a law that's made me free. There's a law that is there to keep me free. And this is what I need to apply to my life, is that law. Amen. John 10:10 shows us the intention of sin. The thief does not come to except to steal and to kill and to destroy. Amen. Now, when I say sin is like a cancer, back in 07, I had colon cancer. Had stage 4 colon cancer. Okay? No, I didn't die. When I went from having no doctors to now I had 5 doctors. And I told my wife that I think I'll just go on, forget this doctor stuff, and my wife humbly, no, fact very verbally, she said, "You will go." So I'm going to these doctors, and he's saying of all they're going to do to me, which the one that really bothered me the most is I'd lose my hair. I told the doctor that, and he looked at me, because I've been bald since I was in my 20s. Nehemiah 8:10 says, "The joy of the Lord is our strength." You got to have that, folks, when you're dealing in trials. Amen. And so, what I had to do is I had to adhere myself to his call, his diagnosis, and his remedy of medicine. Now, get a hold of this. If you were ever sick and you go to the doctor and you know that that medicine's going to help you, are you going to take and just throw it in the trash and say, forget it? Well, hey, I had stage 4 cancer. I'm not about to play around. And so anyway, he said, "We're going to start chemo and radiation." Okay. He says, "You'll first take the pills, and you'll take a pill." I forget now how many times a week I had to take pills. Once or twice, whatever, I don't know. But I had to take radiation a couple of times a week. And so I had to go through that regimen to deal with this problem that I had, was the cancer. It desired me. And so then, as some of you know the story, many of you were praying, and other people were praying. God heard those prayers. And then on December 4th of 2007, I went into surgery, and I came back out, and the surgeon and the radiologist both used the same word and said, "This is phenomenal." The doctor said, "I got in there, I could not find the tumor, and I couldn't even find where it had been." Hallelujah. That sounded pretty good, didn't it? I'm free. But then he said, "But we're going to continue with the second stage of chemo because we want to take care of any little cells that are in there that we missed." I'm saying, "What? I don't want to do that." But that's what I have to do. I need to do that. And so we went on with the, I have a little mark here where the port was, and they'd put that chemo in, and I'd go get chemo every now and then and come out looking like as white as a sheet. And when some of you have gone through that, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And we had, I think, 12 of them, 8 to 10, somewhere in there. And I got through that. And my 6th, 7th, and 8th treatments were so bad that I had my face either in a bucket or the toilet all the time, heaving. It just got worse until the 8th one. Oh, man, it was killing me. But I had to do the medicine. You see what I'm saying? There's a reason why I'm saying this. Okay? Amen. I had to do the medicine. If you get a verse today, I want you to get this verse, John 8:32. Jot it down, put it in your memory, put it on your refrigerator, put it in your bathroom, put it in your car, put it wherever. See this verse, I want you to look at it. You shall know the truth. And what will the truth do? Set you free. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, when you're dealing with that sin, you've got to apply the medicine. When you're dealing with that sickness of sin, you've got to apply the medicine. When I first started chemo and kept doing chemo, I was still, the cancer was still there, but it was going away step by step. And I had to keep applying the medicine if I was going to gain total victory. If you're dealing with the sin today, you just don't come down the altar. Praise God when it happens. I've seen it happen. When a person's totally delivered, whew, glory to God. But the majority of the time, you'll come down, God will bless you, touch you, amen, apply the word, but you got to go back and you've got to work through it. You've got to apply that word every day until finally, one day, you are totally free from its desire and now you are ruling over it instead of it ruling over you. This word is a spiritual medicine. You've got to apply that. Why so many people are dealing with things, and we list the biggies, the drugs, the alcohol, all the other stuff. But sometimes it's just even smaller stuff. But you want to get rid of it. How do I do that? You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You continue, and you never stop applying that truth to you, memorizing it, knowing it, amen, standing upon it every day you battle this so that that sin that's desiring you will not rule over you. And you say, Pastor, right now it's ruling. Are you ready for you to rule over it? Amen. When you obey that truth and you apply that truth, that starts the process to rule over it. All right? Amen. There are two culprits of bondage that you got to deal with. First of all, the law of the Spirit, what it says there in Romans 8:2, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is that word of God. Okay? That's where all that law of the Spirit is. For the law of the Spirit of life, got that? It'll set you free from the law of sin and the law of death. Amen. That's spiritual health food. Now, let's go on. There are two culprits of bondage. One is the flesh and one is the devil. Okay? The flesh is the old nature. You're always going to deal with that old nature. All right? When that cop gave me that little ticket, I finally realized, this is going to cost me $150. My flesh rose up. There's that old nature. You little toad. But that's when you have to get back in the Spirit. Okay? You have to control it. You have to dominate it. How do I do that? The Word of God. It's that sharp two-edged sword that you use to stay in control, to stay dominant over it. Jesus did this very thing. He said, it is written. Satan came around three times in Matthew 4. It is written. And Jesus said, it is written. Well, I'll tempt you. It is written. Three times Jesus said it was written. He knew what worked. He knew that the word worked. All right? Now, the Spirit of God counteracts both of them, the flesh and the devil, and the Word counteracts both of them. Let me ask you a question. Are you tired? Are you tired of sin having rule over you? Sure I am. How do I get rid of it? By learning the Word of God that pertains to your sin. And then using it, working it, applying it, memorizing it, meditating upon it, filling yourself up with the knowledge of that word so that when the enemy comes along and wants to tempt you, he runs into a wall because that word has built a wall, a hedge about you, amen, and he runs into it and he shakes his head he'll try to come at you another way just as he did with Jesus. It is written, pow. All right? Do you want to be free? Remember the little dog story? Church? How big a fight is in you? How big a fight is in you? Do you really want free from that? I know you really do. But you got to use the weapons that are not carnal but are mighty through God to the pulling down of those strongholds that's been built around you, that you have built around you through years, that others have built around you in years. You've got to have those weapons that tears them strongholds down and sets you free. And it's that word of God that is your weapon to use. Know how to swing that baby. Know what to do with it. Amen. That when the enemy comes around, that baby comes out. This is why I taught for years in Ephesians chapter 6, starting with verse 12 on down to verse 18. It describes a believer's equipment: helmet, breastplate, belt, feet shod with preparation of gospel of peace, shield of faith, sword of the Spirit, but it leaves out one piece of equipment. It doesn't mention one piece of equipment. The sheath. Now, why wouldn't Paul mention that? Tell me, why wouldn't Paul mention that? Come on, that's an answerable question. You always have the sword in your hand, baby. Hallelujah. That sword never goes out of your hand. You hold on to that sword because when you think the enemy's not going to be, he's going to come around you and you got that sword. Pow, 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 pow. Amen. I'm ruling over you. I'm ruling over you. There's a new sheriff in town. Hallelujah. Amen. You got to just get that radical like that little dog. I don't care if they're big doormen, I'm still going to win. Some of them sins feel like big old Dobermans. But are you going to dominate? Are you going to rule? Are you going to take the authority? You say, Pastor, you done? Did you hear that, Sunday school class? Amen. Amen. Because you know what I want? I want some of you walking free. I want you to apply that word of God so that you not only get freed, you stay free. I understand what this is. When I got that cancer, I held on to 1 Peter 5:10. But the God of all grace, who's called you into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, that after you suffer well, he shall make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. I'm holding on to that. The joy of the Lord, Nehemiah 8:10, the joy of the Lord is my strength. I'm holding on to that. Hallelujah. Many afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. I'm holding on to that. There was time when the pain was difficult. But I'm holding on. I know there's times of when you're in such a battle and your old flesh is cringing for that junk again, for that garbage again, to do that thing again, and the spirit is in there saying, no, stay away. And there are times of when we fail. Times of when we fail. And understand there will be times when you fail. But by the grace of God, get off your fanny and do it again. Yeah. Fight again. Be like that little dog. I ain't giving up. I'll whoop both of you eventually. Hope I'm not scaring you. Do it again. You keep up. You keep up until finally victory. Victory is mine. Janice, remember that old song? Victory, victory shall be mine. Yeah. How many want that victory? I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to ask you to first bow your heads. Close your eyes. I want you to think about it. You want that victory. Please, head be bowed, eyes be closed. Because I want a personal time. Now, those of you who want that victory, I want you to raise your head and look at me. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Hallelujah. I know. I've been there. And I applied the truth and kept applying. I know of what I'm speaking about. And you overcome. Had a certain sin when I was younger that just, I didn't think I'd ever get freedom over. God, I need free. I'd gotten saved, but I couldn't stop doing this. God, I need free. He led me to scripture that dealt with the problem. He led me to the medicine that dealt with the problem. And I began to apply it. And I got free. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet, all of you, please. Now I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to ask you to do the very thing I had to do. I don't want to know what you're battling. I do not want to know that. That's between you and God. All I want to know is if you want free, I'm going to ask you to step out from where you're standing and come and stand down here. Would you come? In the name of Jesus. Oh, my Lord, I love you. Oh. I love you, Lord. You are my God. Just move over towards the middle. Make room for some are still coming. I have a little favorite chorus. It's my favorite. And there's a reason why it's my favorite. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice. Because most of you don't know what God took me out of and what Jesus Christ cleansed me from. The rest of you standing back, you can sit down. I didn't think I could get saved. I didn't think I could get cleansed. I was just a dirty, no good heathen. How could God forgive me? It blew my mind. It's a young man, it blew my mind. All I had to realize is that He does. If you will confess your sin before God, He will forgive you and set you free. Amen. Would you move over just a little more in this? Come on up a little closer. I promise I won't spit on you. Amen. I'll get back. Hallelujah. Find out in the Word of God what verses pertain to your situation. Okay? Find out, then begin to apply them. I want a handful of you prayer warriors to come and stand behind these folks. I don't want you to touch them, not just yet. I just want you to stand there. Because see, this is what's going to happen is if you don't know a scripture, you get a hold of some of these people and they'll help you find it. You see? They'll help you. If they don't know it, they'll look till they find it. That's how a lot of us old folks, we've grown in the knowledge of the word. People ask me questions. I don't know. I'll find out, though. That's how I grew. One of the ways. So find out that word. Apply it to the sin, to the temptation, and overcome, and you rule over it. You can. I said you can. I said you can. You can rule over it. Because Jesus Christ came up from the grave. Hallelujah. He went down, clear down to hell as that little lamb. But bless God, while he's down there in hell, he transformed into the lion of the tribe of Judah. He went down a lamb and he came up a lion. Why? Because he bought your victory. He bought my victory. He's the key. Now, you prayer warriors, now you can. Now, someone's going to be praying for you. And you that came down, won't you pray this with me? Heavenly Father, give me strength to overcome. Give me strength to rule over that sin, to rule over that temptation. Show me in the Word that truth that'll set me free and that I can stay free with it. Guide me in that wisdom. In the name of Jesus. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I urge you to do that right where you're standing. And it's really very simple. Lord, forgive me of my sin. I need you. Whew. Hallelujah. I need you, God. Forgive me of my sin. The Bible says that when you do that, He will transplant, He will bring the Holy Spirit and put Him in you. And then, hallelujah, talk about a new sheriff in town. Amen. The Spirit will be there to guide you and to show you that spiritual realm that where you'll have freedom. He'll be able to show you the law of the Spirit of life. You kind of have to help me here. I get older and I lose my hearing. Yeah. There'll be times of when you fail, I understand that. But don't stop getting up. Don't stop getting up. It is written, I will rule over you. Hallelujah. I don't cuss like I used to anymore. That was the problem. I was a filthy mouth little punk. I couldn't think. I thought I could. Oh, I'd never stop doing this. By the time I'd be going along and, hey, man, I'm doing okay. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And I'd hit my hand when I was working. I'd go, oh, you rotten. And there it came. And I lost the victory right there. And I'd have to go back. I'm going to rule over. Some of you, it may be something totally different. It probably is. Some, it may be something a lot more stronger and powerful. But set in your mind, I'm going to rule over it. I'll tell you one more story, then I'll let you go. I had a son. Still have him. Yeah. Anyway, he was wrestling. I was a wrestling coach. And he was timid. And he wouldn't do the move. He wouldn't do a takedown very well. And I said, John, get in there and do it. He'd get in there and just kind of pat a cake. Just drive me. Oh, it just drove me back. He came down, and I went, smack. He looked up at me. I said, come on. Get in there. He's looking at me. Of course, this is Dad. He gets back. We're wrestling, and he comes down. A little more emphasis, but not quite as much. Smack. Get in there. And then it came. I looked, and John was going, it was percolating, baby. I mean, the power was percolating. Ooh. His face was jumping all over the place, and it wasn't because he had a rash, let me tell you, man. He's, come on. He dove in there. He grabbed me, picked me up, slammed me on the floor, and I went, good job. I did like most of us, big, strong men do. I went off in the bathroom going, John thought he killed me. I thought he did too. because he had lost a match that he could have won because he was patty caking. That next week he had another match. Before he went, I yelled out, John! You know what to do. And he looked at me and went, I said, oh, I feel sorry for that poor kid. John went out here and turned that kid every way but loose. All he needed was to know that it can be done and I can do it. You can do it. Because Jesus already defeated Satan.